Murray right. Olds joins me in the studio.
No, we are told only a few minutes ago that the election is all over. Christopher Pyne, the industry minister, was on the Nine Network for his regular Friday morning chinwag with the stars of the moment on Nine and his sparring partner, Anthony Albanese, from the Labor front bench. And Christopher Pyne has declared the coalition has won the election and will have, he says, a solid majority. Mr. Pyne, look, it does depend on how you define solid, but certainly at the moment, this morning, the coalition now has 73 seats. It does have the backing of Bob Katter, and while he hasn't said as much, Nick Xenophon has been wooed and courted by the Prime Minister, which would give them, I suppose, if we can include the new member for Mayo down in the Adelaide Hills, that would give him 75 in terms of Katter and the Xenophon lower house MP, the new one there.
A big step from we won't be forming a minority government, though. They were very adamant that they were not going to be talking to anyone.
I think he's been mugged by the political reality. Very good story this morning in The Australian from Graham Richardson, but Mr. Whatever It Takes. And he says that Malcolm Turnbull is a dead man walking. The only trouble is that there's no alternative. You can't go back to Tony Abbott.
Oh, God, no.
No one's going to back, for example, Christopher Pyne, and the new generation isn't ready.
So not a ScoMo, because I've always thought he was being courted off in the wings, Mr. Damaged Scott
good.
Morrison.
Damaged good, says Richo. Certainly, there's apparently, if you believe a lot of the stories, and they are whining and whinging in the back rooms and leaking to journos all over the country, but Scott Morrison and the assistant treasurer from Higgins, Kelly O'Dwyer, apparently Damaged Goods, the coalition MPs are furious at Mediscare. Okay, they said Labor lied. Well, gee whiz, duh, there's a first in politics, you tell lies. The other thing they're furious about is the dreadful job that was done selling the changes to superannuation. ScoMo, Scott Morrison's out there. He might think he's the leader in waiting, but a lot of people apparently have fed up with his attitude and the fact that he failed to sell it adequately.
Well, look, and it's also under his watch that, S&P have lowered our credit rating?
Not the credit rating.
No, sorry, you're
it's
right.
The credit outlook.
Yes.
And what that means is that Standard & Poor's, one of the world's biggest, if not the biggest and most influential ratings agencies, has had a look at where we are in terms of forming a new government, the budget position, and they're saying, guess what? The outlook is negative. It's not positive, it's negative because we've got such this apparently intractable problem. Governments, well, whoever gets up, wedded to ongoing spending. The only difference seemed to me to be, and to the electorate, it's fair to say, Labor was going to tax and spend even more than the government over the next 4 years, but then miraculously return to surplus at the same time. Does Labor tax and spend? Yes, it does. The government has to cut spending or it's going to raise taxes. There is no
magic bullet otherwise. That's the only way it's going to work.
No magic pudding.
Yeah.
You know, you have to either cut your spending, and so it's going to be painful. They tried to. And to be fair, the coalition under Tony Abbott and now under Malcolm Turnbull, they've had this intractable Senate to deal with, and they just refuse to pass. Well, sorry, that's government. But you can't have it your own way all the time. And the point is, the budget was unacceptable under Joe Hockey, and the budget's unacceptable in so many areas under Scott Morrison. So figure it out, guys. That's what you're paid for. So they're going to have a compromise. And as you say, well, it's all we want to be hairy chested. We're not going to form, you'll form government. They're like weasels in a sack. Don't you think?
No, they are. And look, the other thing is, you know, it's still politics. It's still populist. I don't care how good your sausage is. If you're not selling me the sizzle, no one's going to bite it.
Correct. That's right. And by the way, the bread rolls a bit manky too. You've got, it's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this week, watching them squirm, watching them wriggle. And I commend that Richo piece to you in the Australian newspaper. You will enjoy it.
I'll give it a look. Richo's always good for a read or a listen, usually.
3 months after that dreadful cancer surgery, he's back and firing, and it's a very interesting piece. The other big political story, of course, Paul Keating overnight has ripped into John Howard, saying he should hang his head in shame for taking Australia into the war against Iraq. Big fallout yesterday, Mr. Howard defending his decision. Okay, he said it was based on wrong information, but the information we had at the time was compelling. Paul Keating saying overnight that, in fact, what that's done, that disaster of Iraq, invading Saddam Hussein, who had no weapons of mass destruction, posed no threat. There was no imminent danger to the rest of the world. And what that's done, according to Keating, is create the stage now, the global stage for terrorism.
It's a hard position to argue against, to be honest. It really is. And look, I'll say this for Howard. I certainly was no fan of going into Iraq. I was a big protester against that when it was under his watch. I did admire him for fronting up to a media and talking about it directly.
Well, that's right. That's been his whole style, hasn't it? I mean, remember after Port Arthur, he was standing up there the day after, 48 hours later, saying we have to change our gun laws.
Yes, we.
And big kudos to him.
Yeah.
And I suppose, look, the other big story in the last 24 hours is this bombshell about greyhound racing in New South Wales.
Amazing stuff.
It sort of came out of nowhere, but it has been bubbling away. And you've had this special commission of inquiry that was set up on the back of the ABC. Did a hell of a job. I think that Caro is her Christian name. I forget her surname now, but kudos to her. She got a gold Walkley for that expose of the industry. Almost 70,000 greyhounds too slow to race have been killed in the last 12 years. They're strapping little piglets and kittens and little rabbits onto these lures and whizzing them around the track for the greyhounds to, in training, live baiting. I mean, it's just revolting.
It's horrific stuff.
And they're talking this morning. Where's the quote? We've had the greyhound industry boss out this morning. He says, oh, it's shocking and it's dismaying. Well, you guys can't fix your own industry. It's the first in Australia. And in fact, greyhound racing's outlawed around most of the world.
Yeah, look, and I saw yesterday the ACT is very likely to follow.
Yeah.
And I might point out, we're not wrapping up until 2017. They've got a year to wrap this up. And the government is saying that they are committed to helping people transition out of this.
Yep.
It's not sort of all over by the shouting immediately.
They say there's about 3,000 people, though, who get their livelihood from the greyhound racing industry. Well, that's tough. They should have sorted themselves out and not got to this point where the media had to expose the hideous, revolting practices of this dreadful industry.
And it was hideous.
Oh, God damn it. Can you believe it? No. It just turns your stomach.
Yes.
Look, and quickly in sport, we've got a rematch at Wimbledon of the Australian Open final for ladies. You've got Serena Williams to play Angelique Kerber. Kerber, you may recall, stunned the world and Serena by winning at Melbourne Park in January. So Serena will have her chance on her best surface, her favourite surface of grass, to avenge that loss. And well done, France. The football team this morning has beaten Germany in a top-flight competition for the first time in nearly half a century.
Half a century? Has it been that long?
Yep, been 48 years since France last beat Germany at this at the top-flight international level. Not friendlies, not none of that stuff. This is the real deal. And the host nations won 2-0 to advance to the final of the Euro Championship against Portugal. And just one other note of caution too, the Rio Olympic Games only weeks away now. The Australian Olympic Committee is so worried about security, it's gone out to hire a private firm to be on standby to look after the national team.
Could have predicted that happening.
This will be a disaster.
Murray, thank you so much for getting us through that
week. Have a lovely weekend, mate.